Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Starting off hour number two with a text from Tom. Tom is referring to my guest, Brian Eich. He says, love your guest. Dude is real. You feel real, Brian?
Sometimes I wish my leg would grow back, but it's taken a long time.
Hang in there, man. No, that sounded like a bad pun, too, but... Brian Eich, a bona fide war hero, is my guest here at Nightlight. He is in the studio with me. He's a Bronze Star recipient, lost his leg in the Afghan war, in the war in Afghanistan. And there's a Netflix documentary about him I highly recommend called Father, Soldier, Son. He is the subject of the documentary. A camera crew over 10 years got into his life and told his story. And it's a really phenomenal documentary. Amanda? You still here?
I am still here.
Okay, good.
You wouldn't be on air.
That's what I always say to Conrad. I'm always worried he's going to take a powder during the middle of a show. You have to see this documentary.
Yes, I've already texted my fiance. I'm like, Kevin, apparently
good.
We got a movie this weekend.
Do you have the Netflix?
I do have the Netflix. Right. I didn't for a while, but, you know, I got kids.
I had to get Netflix to watch your own.
They didn't give you Netflix?
They should at least give you, you should get the New York Times for the rest of your life and Netflix.
Nope.
Wow, let's if Conrad is here, come to take a memo. We gotta do something about that. It won an Emmy.
Does that mean technically you won an Emmy?
I guess it was the editorial Emmy. I don't know. I think the reporters get that.
Oh, or like the editor on the film?
It got an Emmy Award for editing.
Okay.
Emmy Award winning adjacent Brian Eich in studio right now.
All right, we're laughing now. We're laughing now. All through the film, I was amazed that you, like, you're a guy who likes to laugh. That came through early in the film. And the fact that you were still able to do it amidst all the adversity is pretty incredible. Your sense of humor, can you elaborate?
I think humor is the best medicine.
Do you think you're funny?
I like to think so, but if
you
ask
make
my
yourself
girlfriend,
laugh.
Oh yeah, I laugh at my own shit.
Right, that's
stuff, my own stuff. Yeah, but they're corny, and if you've known me, like my girlfriend, she hears the same joke like 14 times a day.
Listen, I was a stand-up comic for years. I was very jaded. Now the thing that makes me laugh the most are people who think they're funny. Because it's true, it's almost a spiritual thing. It's like the ability to make yourself laugh and not care. And I have a lot of friends like this, and I absolutely love that sweet goof kind of quality. It's the best.
And then you're like, no, it was funny. And they're like, no, it wasn't. And you're like, it was a little funny.
Let me clarify. I don't think you're funny, but I love that you think you're funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kidding.
I'll go with that.
So let me ask you, I want to ask you a little bit about what you watch on TV and all that fun stuff. But before that, when Isaac was in basic training, your son, Isaac, your oldest son, who we get to know very well through the film, and said he wasn't going to join the military, ultimately does. He followed in your footsteps.
Footstep.
Okay. All right. That was funny.
Come on. That was good. That's his joke.
You can laugh too.
I have a good chuckle over
here.
All
right. Good. That was good. But they had a camera crew there, so they were okay with that? Like the Army let this Netflix camera crew?
Yeah. It took a lot of, you had to go through, you know, public affairs and get it all approved, but yeah.
So
he got crap for it, like
from his
he got way more push-ups and the drill sergeants had a ball with him. Plus, you know, they knew I was a drill sergeant, so yeah, he got a little special attention.
Oh, that's funny. Because I thought that must have been a cool moment for you. I always wonder when I'm away from my kids during the day, like when my son was at college or living in a different city, I'm like, what's he doing right now? I'd love to know what his life is like. You get to see that.
That's the cool part about the documentary, even now that everybody knows Joey's passed away. But I have footage that somebody that lost their kid wouldn't normally have.
Yeah.
So I have over 500 hours of videos of Joey that I wouldn't normally have. So I'm thankful for that. You know,
do you watch it often? Not probably.
You know, the cool part about the reporters, Katrin and Leslie, is they'll send me pictures every so often.
Okay.
Of, you know, something I don't have. And I'm like, wow. Thanks. So
that's a great, and again, and this comes across a lot in the documentary, I think, is your tendency to look at things glass half full. Mm-hmm. Like this horrible tragedy.
I learned quick that focusing on the negative stuff helps nothing. It just drags you deeper and down there in that darkness I talked about earlier. So I always try to look at, I don't want to talk anything negative. Yep. A 74-year-old man hit my son, not once, but twice, drug him 125 feet up a hill and killed him. I don't care if it was his fault or if he wasn't at fault, but he killed him. So I can be angry about that for the rest of my life, or I can just understand that no matter how angry I get at him, it's not going to bring him back. So I'm just focused on happy stuff with Joey. I don't focus on that bad stuff.
How long
anymore.
Did it take you to get there? You can intellectualize that, and that's great, but you can't, the heart doesn't lie, right? I mean, you must.
Three or four years ago, maybe.
Wow.
So it's been a while. Yeah.
But you got there.
Trust me, I was Google Earth in that guy's house. I knew when he left. I knew where he lived. I bought ammo. I was going to defend my son's honor because somebody wasn't.
Wow.
And I'm glad I didn't follow through with it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, none of it's going to bring him back. So, yeah. So now I honor him differently.
Yeah. And your whole family seems to, like your son Isaac going into the Army for Joey. And then you said your son Jackson now, who's a really good wrestler. You know, he has a connection to Joey too, you talked about earlier. That's so cool.
The crazy thing with Jackson and Joey is, you know, I talk about Joey a lot, but Jackson asks questions about Joey all the time. And for him to be born 2 years after Joey was killed, I'm amazed at how much Jackson knows about his brother. It's like he knows him, and it's kind of like eerie crazy. It's wow. Like, oh, this is weird.
What was it like for the people around you? Like, your kids were young at the time. You weren't married maybe right away. Your parents were in the documentary a little bit. What was it like for the people around you having a camera crew?
Yeah, you had to coach them. Like, don't look at the camera.
Okay.
You know, like, hey, just act normal. It's okay. Just do your thing.
Some people can't do that.
Yeah. And on the funny thing, you know, they tell you, you know, hey, if you got to use the bathroom, just press the mute button. I'd never press the mute button. I'm like, if you're going to film me, you're hearing it. Yeah.
All right. So I hate to change the subject to more happy comedic things, but what do you watch on TV? That's what we do on the show, Brian. We talk about the movies and TV because I feel like, very similar to sports, entertainment brings us together. It's stuff we can talk about.
How old are you?
12. How old do you think I am?
I'm Jeffy. I'm 5. I like to eat apples.
How old do you think I am? I don't know what that means. How old do you think I am?
51?
Close.
Okay.
Why do you ask? Because I watch TV?
Because I'm 49, and if I sit down and watch a movie, I'll be asleep in an hour. I don't know what it is. I can watch it in the afternoon, but I'll fall asleep.
That's when I actually watch a lot of stuff is during the day.
I do like watching documentaries, a lot of, you know, war stuff.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I, you know, most of the time I'm like, yeah, that's crap. Yeah, that didn't happen. That's not
really.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
I mean, speaking of coaching, and I don't know, most documentary filmmakers, a lot of them are journalists and they wouldn't do that, but like, or at least not maybe coaching, but telling people what to say, like reality TV, like they do. Mm-hmm. But how is it for you? Do you watch war movies, like the fictional ones or historical fiction ones like Platoon or... Can you watch films like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That doesn't bother me. You mean like from a PTSD standpoint?
Yeah, I did. We had a family friend who was in the Marines and he did 2 tours. And I asked him, I remember when Platoon came out and I said, did you see that? And he said, no, I don't like to. He said, I haven't had any problems with my time in Vietnam. He said, but I don't want to like rock the boat or even entertain maybe that something might come back. And that's where he was at with it. I'm like, oh, that makes sense, you know.
And none of that ever really bothered me. I think it's a thing you just gotta, you know, that's a movie. It's a movie.
Right.
It's a movie.
So documentaries, you like the documentaries?
Probably one of my favorite one was, I don't even know, remember the name of it, but when they followed Hitler's trail down to Venezuela or whatever.
Oh,
have you seen that one? Like they're saying he's alive and all his Gestapo buddies made it.
Is that
down
a documentary?
Or
are you talking about the boys from Brazil? That was a movie. That was like a.
It was a whole series.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they're trying to show how Hitler
hunting Hitler.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
But it's a documentary.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, it's all that. Historical stuff where they have video of them confronting Goebbels.
Oh yeah,
they found Goebbels in his 70s right. down there.
Wow.
Yeah,
Hunting Hitler is a History Channel television series based on the conspiracy theory that Adolf Hitler escaped from Berlin at the end of World War II in a German escape network discovered underground. Is that it?
Yeah, that's
but that's a documentary
or a docuseries.
But they're exploring the idea that he might be alive.
Well, they have camera crews down there filming. Like the whole town speaks German and there's Nazi right. propaganda and, you know, there's all kinds of crap down there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm a real fan of like Germany in World War II. Is that weird? I just think they were a phenomenal army. They just made
all right.
bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, the whole two front thing. But I like World War II history.
Okay. Do you have family members that fought in World War II?
Yes. So I got stationed in Germany as an observer controller, and they're not direct family. They're like descendants
okay.
on the family tree. But I went to where the first Eich was born in Germany, and Erwin Eich was there, and we were sitting at this table, this oak table, and he goes, yeah, this is the same table where I served American officers coffee. I said, what? He goes, I bought the house. He says, I was conscripted into the German army. He was a German military. And he was conscripted, captured by the Russians 3 months after he was a soldier, and then turned over to the Americans. And then he was a servant for the officers in that very house I was sitting in.
And that he was your great...
It's a great something. Great, he's great, down the family tree, yeah.
No kidding.
It was wild.
That is wild.
Eating dinner at the very table where U.S.
sounds
officers
like a chapter in your book that we'll see soon. Can you hang for a few more?
Absolutely.
All right. Brian Eich is here. He is a Bronze Star recipient, Army veteran, and the subject of the documentary, Father, Soldier, Son?
Yep.
I've said it so many
Father,
times.
Soldier, Son.
Okay. Check it out. It's a great documentary. We'll have a few more minutes with Brian coming up next on Nightlight. Great to have you with me.
On air.
Getting an education here on military medals, and I need to clarify something. Brian is the recipient of the Bronze Star for Valor. You said Bronze Stars.
Typically a platoon leader or a platoon sergeant, so a lieutenant or a Sergeant First Class that's in charge of a platoon if they successfully make it through the rotation. The typical award upon redeployment back to the States is a Bronze Star.
Okay.
And then...
Well, that's a big difference then to what you got. That's
pretty... I don't see a difference in my paycheck, but yeah.
How long were you in? Do you
20 years, 6 months okay. when it was all said and done.
That's the big... 20 years is like the big... That's what you want to make it through, right?
Well, if you get wounded, I think you only got to make it like 18 and you get grandfathered over. If you're like what they call a combat kick out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about your time in the military looking back?
I think I had a good career.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I wasn't a fan of everybody, but I did the best I could with what I had. You know, you look back on it, you're like, can I go back and change this? Or would I have changed it? Absolutely. But yeah. I don't think I had a bad career. I did a lot of stuff.
Right.
I kind of wish I would have did more, you know. But
what more
I didn't
could you have
a,
done? Seriously.
I mean, like go to sniper school, try special forces. I went to ranger school. I was an air assault instructor. I was an army instructor. I was a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
But my toughest school I went to was ranger school. I didn't go through SEER school. I was actually worked at SEER school for a couple of weeks as a tasking. But there's just a lot of cool schools. I got to jump into Kazakhstan. We flew 18 hours nonstop from Fort Bragg.
Like out of a plane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With a parachute. Yeah.
not, and I mean, I knew you didn't mean like triple jump. Mm-hmm. Like you had to, like, parachute. That's pretty big
stuff. You know, you don't need a parachute to skydive. You need one to do it twice.
I know where that was going.
Oh, sorry.
You telegraphed that one, man.
Oh, sorry.
So I thought that was Special Forces stuff. You just like, that's basic Army stuff? You're parachuting out of a helicopter?
Yeah, parachuting's its own school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3 weeks. It's one of the easiest Army schools there is.
Because you just jump and pull?
Yeah, you just
do the old jump and
run
pull?
Really slow, and you do a couple pull-ups, and then you fall out. All my jumps are night jumps. 36 jumps, they're all
that
night
seems
jumps.
Kind of scary.
Do you know why they're night jumps? No. When I come out of the aircraft, my eyes are closed.
It's Army joke night here on night. No, please.
No, no, you're good.
This is your dance floor.
I wish I would have closed my eyes when I jumped out of a plane.
Oh, my Lord.
Did you do it?
I did.
It's not normal. You know, no, everybody's like, I'm not scared. I'm like, you're full of crap. If you're not nervous going out of that aircraft, something's wrong. You're doing it right. Something's not right.
When I was 21, I had to skydive. At some point in my life, I'm skydiving. That lasted for about 2 years. Luckily, I never did it in that 2 years because now it terrifies me. Or not so much that, Brian. The big phrase is YOLO. You only live once.
YOLO.
The theory is that, you should do everything crazy. Well, if you only live once, why would you take unnecessary risks? I don't understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you'd be reincarnated, I'll try skydiving, sure.
For all you PlayStation and Xbox, I can't find the restart button. I can't respawn. I can't figure out why.
I think we need a character named after you in a video game. I think that would be really cool. So are you going to see any of the summer blockbuster movies?
I may. You mean like going to the theater?
Yeah. Or seeing them at home, like The Fall Guy or, what is there, Challengers or what's
like
the...
I'm a series guy. Like,
yeah.
Outlander got me.
Is that the one? Is Outlander the one with the red-haired guy? And the really attractive woman.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife was obsessed with that show. She got my dad
amazing.
Into it. I know.
Like that's in Game of Thrones. I like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like I got into Game of Thrones late, but you went to a Renaissance fair. You proposed at one. I don't like that era. I'm not really into it.
I do.
So I didn't think I would like Game of Thrones, but man, does it hook you.
Who's the midget guy?
Till the last season.
Who's the midget guy?
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't remember his character.
I think just the role he
Tyrion played. Lannister.
Tyrion, yeah.
Lannister always pays his debts.
Yeah, he was a cool
he
character.
He was awesome.
But didn't you want in that scene the dad, when the girl who wanted to avenge her mother's death?
Daenerys Targaryen?
I can't remember all the names.
The blonde that does the dragon?
The dragon?
She was like, no. She was like 12.
Oh,
Arya Stark.
Arya Stark.
Yes, Stark.
She's amazing.
A girl has no name.
I wanted her to kill that guy in that scene. That old guy who was so horrible. That would have made the series better for me. But Wedding, I can never watch that show again. That was just awful.
You know, the way they filmed that, I knew the Red Wedding was going to happen. It was completely 100% spoiled for me.
Yeah.
And I still didn't see it coming as I was watching
really?
The show. It still snuck up on me.
Yeah.
It's
I saw that coming.
Awful. Because I liked that character, Rob Stark. Yep. I thought he was.
Rob was good.
Yeah.
And then you got The Walking Dead, which I was into for 5 seasons. And then all of a sudden, it just like a light bulb clicked on. And it just got dumb.
I
think it was when they went into that town and they were cooking human steaks. I was like, okay, this is stupid.
Alexandria.
Yeah,
the town. Like I agree.
Safe place.
That'd be where I kind of just stopped watching too. There was just
I was
something.
Like, this is just
dumb. You got to eat. Okay, what are you gonna do? You need sustenance.
Grow food.
With all that,
it just got to a point where it was like, this is really dumb.
But I thought the first 3 or 4 seasons, like with so many shows, that's the best part is when it starts off and it's something new and cool. And then it's just like, then they got to find an excuse to keep it on because they get these big contracts and everybody's getting paid. But yeah, I love The Walking Dead. I've seen the pilot like 3 or 4 times. I think that's so cool when Rick wakes up and the world has changed. Like, you know, he sees that little girl who's dead and crawling on it's just awful.
But I watched Rebel Moon today.
What's that?
It's a very fictitious movie about they got to pay tribute to their. Whoever their lord or whatever is, and this outcast girl thought she killed this guy, but then they hook him up to all these tubes and he comes back to life.
Huh.
Yeah, it's quirky, stupid.
That's the voice of Brian Eich. He is giving us his review of Rebel Moon. Brian is the subject of the Netflix documentary Father, Soldier, Son, So great. Check it out. He's been in studio with me here for longer than we thought, because you're a great guy to talk. You're very easy to talk to. Were you really chatty in the military? Did guys like being around you? Like,
I think I was kind of a prick.
Really?
Yeah. I was the buy the book guy. If it's not in the book, don't do it kind of guy. I just, because if it's not in the book, or if it's in the book, I'm not going to go to jail, or I'm not going to lose rank. Okay. If I do something that's not in the book, I can't do it.
All right. So you were humorless at one point in your life, and you found funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I
nice
funny?
Nice work.
I don't
know. Yeah. I get a kick out of you. You laughed in your documentary. It's a great documentary. I appreciate you coming in tonight and hanging out with us and telling us all about it. If you're listening, check it out. You're going to see the summer blockbusters, I get it, but make time for Father, Soldier, Son. It's very good. And Brian is very good in it. Very interesting life. Thank you. It's inspiring. The way you came out on the other end of all of that, to me, is just the most, it gives people hope that you can weather all of that.
It ain't over yet. We're going to keep going.
You can make a few more mistakes, but I think you'll come out okay from those too, based on the movie. That's my guest, Brian Eich. Amanda.
Thank you.
Brian.
Yes.
You a fan?
I am a fan.
Funny?
I think he's hilarious.
He's funny, right?
Okay, blunt humor is just great.
Some people don't get it, though. Like, and when I do speaking, and they're just like, Brian, not the crowd. I'm like, I don't care if they get it or not. I thought it was funny.
Dark humor is the best kind of humor.
I agree. 100%. Terry Barr is coming up shortly. We are going to get a live report from Bratfest. I hope everybody's okay down there. That's a lot of food. Joey Chestnut's hanging it up. We're talking hot dogs. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's a song. You put REM in that category?
I don't know.
Maybe not best all time, but I mean, if we're going to accept some of the other submissions, I think we have to accept this one too. The question of tonight's show, who is the greatest American songwriter? Who is the greatest American songwriter? Amanda says Phil Collins. I say Bruce Springsteen. What do you say? 855-752-4842. Did I interrupt you?
I was going to say, you want to know who would really know this?
Yes,
is Terry
I know.
Barr.
Now, Terry Barr, I've heard of her. How do we get a hold of Terry Barr? Oh, Terry, how are you?
Hey, guys. Wow.
How's it going?
Bratfest for this evening has now been canceled due to thunder and lightning.
I just saw that update. I was just looking at it.
What a bummer.
Isn't that sad? So
it's
that's
terrible.
Where I was going to be reporting to you from Bratfest in Madison. And I was hoping I would have some village people playing behind me. But
that would have been sweet.
I know.
You know what?
I know.
You just made me think of something, Terry. A couple weeks ago, you were going to come on. You were going to report live. Or maybe it was last week from the Willie Nelson concert. But you had a family issue, so you couldn't do it.
I know. Oh, my gosh. What is going on with this?
No, but this is funny. And this week it was Bratfest, but it was rained out. I think every week we should have you at some event that gets bigger and bigger, but you keep – something goes wrong. And you can't report from it.
Okay, I will keep trying for you because you know it's going to happen at some point, right?
Terry Barr is live from Tom Cruise's house. Oh, she got kicked out.
Oh.
That could be a really
funny. Yeah, and I got kicked out. Thanks. I'm sitting on his stoop right now.
That could be a really...
I don't know if that's really...
A really,
you know,
funny bit.
That terrible of a thing to get kicked out of his house.
That's true.
Do you really want to be there?
Yeah, probably not. So what... Okay, so you're safe. That's the important thing. But...
Yeah.
Tell us what happened. Were you there for a while before it ended?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And here's the story about why Bratfest is such a big deal. It's in its 41st year, and I love the behind the kind of the behind the scenes story. It started simply as the family that owns Metcalf Grocery Store in Madison. And then they branched out and they now have like three grocery stores. But it started as a thank you during the Memorial weekend to customers. And customers would come by, maybe grab a brat, and they had one grill and they did it in the parking lot. And then Tim Metcalf, oh my gosh, amazing guy, decided, why can't we just help charities all around Wisconsin? They can apply to get money from Bratfest, and let's do it. So I don't think he thought much about it, except let's do it.
Yeah.
So today it is volunteer run, hundreds of volunteers. In fact, my husband was there for television today, and he said the poor volunteers kept running in and running out and running in and running out. And that was later in the day. I was there earlier in the day and was hoping to still be there to talk with you. Yeah. But all these volunteers, they love this. They serve, at this point now, 4 million brats. They've raised, I mean, and this is every kind of brat you can think of, including they have a vegan version. They have raised close to $3 million for 100 charities. Every year, 100 charities throughout Wisconsin benefit from Bratfest. And Tim Metcalf would tell you now it's just about building community, inviting people into this. He still considers it a little festival. And isn't that amazing?
But then
there's all this free music, 75 bands for free over the course of 3 days. And they have estimated that in any given day, because it does run from like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., they might have 200,000 people there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is incredible. And the bands they have, is Quiet Riot there?
Quiet Riot. Now, okay, so the weather is supposed to be perfect tomorrow. Quiet Riot is the headliner tomorrow night. Yep, 7 o'clock.
Man. And it's free.
It's free to park and it's free to get in.
Okay.
Now, here's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers, longtime friend of the Max Inc. radio show. And we talked to him just to get a grip on, you know, we talk about the brats, we talk about the music, but he shared more about what makes this special. And I think we've got that sound for you.
Oh, sweet.
We have a kid zone. We have a farm zone. We have a sports zone, all these different areas, just not really like anything else, right? And all of these things, now short of the carnival, you do have to pay for carnival rides, but we have a kid zone that you don't need to pay for. And the thing that's unique about Bratfest is that you don't even need to pay to park. So if you just wanted to come down for the weekend and spend some time with your family, there's really nothing else like that where your support, every dollar you spend goes to help this amazing thing for the community.
Goes into, like when you put an event on like that.
Different family members. They do have a Life Fest zone, which is considered Christian music on Sunday, and that goes on all day Sunday. It's just really incredible, and they make the money off the brats.
Jeez. I was just saying, I don't know if people understand what goes into making an event like that. When you say all this stuff, like all the money goes back to charities or back to the just to support the event, that's really a huge ask. And for people to do that year after year for 40 years now, that is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes.
So
my
cool.
husband with TV in this area talked to Tim Metcalf, and he is one of the originators with his parents and his family 40 years ago. And he said he was stressing about what to decide to do about the weather tonight. And I don't even know how this happened, but he has some National Weather Service people on site to help him make the decisions to keep people safe.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure right now I can hear thunder, and it's pouring. And I'm sure he is feeling okay about his decision to tell everybody to go home. But tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. Yeah. And yeah, Quiet Riot is the headliner. But music starts, again, free, tomorrow at 11 a.m. And there's every kind of musician you might want to listen to. And you can bop between three stages to catch all of it.
Terry Barr is my guest. She is calling to discuss Broadfest, which unfortunately was canceled tonight, but you can still check out. You know, wait, first of all, Max Inc., you guys are taking the weekend off, right?
Oh, can you believe it?
Good for you. Well, you've earned it, right?
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Yeah. We are doing a Live in the Lair marathon that starts Saturday night, 6 p.m., and runs through the rest of the weekend. And it really is everybody's favorite local bands from all over the state that we have been fortunate enough to have live in our studio.
It's so cool. And I want to ask you about the Village People, but first I have to say congrats on your award. Last weekend at the Whammies, Max Inc. received a Best Podcast Award. Can you tell us about that? That's so cool and so well-deserved.
We feel so lucky. This is our second award this year.
Yeah.
We won because Civic Media and Jorge Reyna wrote a story about Max Inc. Radio that won a first place from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
Wow.
And then we won a Wisconsin Area Music Industry Association Award for the best podcast, which that kind of blew all of us away because we don't think of ourselves as podcasters necessarily. We think of ourselves as live radio broadcasters. But there we are. They thought our podcasts were so good that follow our show that we won. Oh my gosh, we won.
You know, and I here's my personal story with Max Inc. I was telling Rocker this actually, but I was talking recently. I said, when you get older, it's hard to find new music. And unless somebody tells me about a band or my brother says something or my son or daughter, I just don't find it. But your show has helped me, has exposed me to new music I would not have found were it not for Live in the Lair and Max Inc. It's so great. And I encourage all of you listening, if you have not checked out Max Inc., the award-winning Max Inc., you have to check it out. It's like, I feel like I accidentally found a whole bunch of new music.
I love that. I feel like that every week as well, even though I'm one of the hosts and I try to do my research and you and I talk about it ahead of the show.
Right.
I am so often standing there in awe of whoever we may have in the studio. We are so lucky, and we've talked about this before. Wisconsin is an amazing place with all this live music. And I just hope that somebody can make it and put Wisconsin back on the map for a place for music.
Yeah, and who knew? At least I didn't know. I had no idea Wisconsin had this much talent. I mean, I knew great bands had come from here.
Yeah.
But to hear all these bands nobody's even discovered, so to speak, yet. And don't say you're lucky, because you guys put a lot of work into that, into finding these bands and putting a show on every week for 6 hours. I mean, I think you're being too modest.
Oh.
So now, okay, enough with the schmaltz.
Okay, yeah, stop it. You're making me feel weird.
Let's pivot to the Village People, everybody. Were the actual Village People there tonight, or was it like a cover band?
No, it was supposed to be the real Village People band at 8 o'clock tonight. But prior to that, I want to say it was right around 6 o'clock. They decided to say, we can't do it. And of course, right now, you and I talking, it's after 8:30, and there is thunder and lightning in the area. So Tim and his National Weather Service crew and whoever else that is at Broadfest with the Metcalfs making these decisions probably did the right thing, because this way no one gets hurt. But where are the Village People right now? That's my question.
Oh, they
did
probably
they get here and
on their way back to the village, I would imagine. They had to.
One would hope that they're dancing in the streets somewhere, perhaps.
Possibly.
There we go. Now we got to find that location.
The YMCA, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Terry, before we let you go, who, in your opinion, and again, there are no right or wrong answers, Who is the greatest American songwriter? It's Bob Dylan's birthday. That's why we're asking the question today.
Okay. I'm going to go with Paul Simon.
Oh, great one.
Thank you.
Wow. We have not heard Simon Paul
Simon. Simon and Garfunkel together. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's some of the first music I learned to play piano when I was little. But then Paul Simon eventually, you know, was on his own. And sometimes the words of his songs just kick you in the butt.
So great.
My goodness.
Late in the Evening is still one of my all-time favorite songs. We have that.
Yes.
It's so great.
I remember hearing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And my,
right.
My dad caught me singing along, and I don't know, junior high maybe. And yeah. He was like, why are you singing that song? And I go, it's a great song.
You don't slip out the back, Jack, or make a new plan, Stan. That's terrible.
You got it.
Terry, thank you so much. And thanks for checking in anyway, even though there wasn't a whole bunch to report. It's still so much fun to talk to you. And love that you do this on Friday nights, my friend.
Thank you. Pete and Amanda, have a wonderful weekend.
Absolutely.
Enjoy your entire weekend off.
Yeah.
I know. It's so weird. Thank you.
No kidding. All right. That's Terry Barr. Check out Max Inc. And check out Broadfest. It's supposed to be nice, at least tomorrow anyway. So that's exciting. Tom from New Berlin says, if you cannot laugh at yourself, it makes you a hero. If you can laugh at yourself, it makes you a hero to others. Well said, Tom. Pete, you're a great interviewer. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Brian was a great guest. Tom says, hilarious. And all you Aussie rock. Was that to our question?
I'm not sure where that was.
All you guys rock. I don't know. But you rock, Tom. Thank you. And all right, we'll read the next text when we come back. Thelma and Louise, when we come back, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Next thing I remember, I'm walking down the street. I'm feeling all right. I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops, yeah. And down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groups, yeah. Singing late in the evening, and all the girls out on the street. Says Taylor Swift, greatest American songwriter, Taylor Swift. You know what? I know a lot of you are probably saying, oh, come on, Taylor Swift. And I don't know if I agree with that right now in her career, but for her age and as prolific as she is, whether you like her music or not, and I'll admit, I don't know a lot of her music. She's got some nice songs, but she's certainly in the conversation. We heard Carole King earlier. I would say Taylor Swift, by sheer volume, has already surpassed Carole King. You could argue who has the better songs, but Taylor Swift is on the fast track in regard to this conversation, in my opinion. Aunt Carla checks in. It's about time, Aunt Carla. She says, sorry, I could not listen to the show tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. Well, it sounds like you are listening to the show. And regardless, you have a great weekend too, Aunt Carla. It's great to hear from you. I hope everybody has a safe weekend. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. We will be doing another remote from the Minocqua Brewing Company in June. I want to say June 14th. We'll keep you posted. That's always a fun time. And Wednesday, I want to take a quick moment here. We'll be off Monday, folks. Monday night, there will be no Nightlight. We'll have a best of. Actually, there will be Nightlight, but it will be a best of. Some highlights from past shows. I'm going to take the day off. And then Tuesday as well, I will be off and we will have a best of. So we'll be back Wednesday night with comedian and host Paul Gilmartin, who was the former host of the show Dinner in a Movie on TBS. And they're doing a Dinner in a Movie reboot, and Jason Biggs will be one of the hosts. I hope they don't ever make pie. He will be one of the hosts. Paul will join me on Wednesday to discuss his time on the show Dinner and a Movie. A great idea for people that just wanted to stay home in the mid-90s to late 90s. I think the show ran to like 2008 or something like that. And Paul was one of the hosts. And it was a great, you know, stay home, learn how to make a meal, watch a fun movie. Great idea for a show. And he had a good run with that show. They are rebooting it, hoping that people, probably since the pandemic, want to stay home more and more and just watch movies in their home. So the idea is they're going to show more classic movies. And Jason Biggs and a co-host will walk you through that. So we'll talk to Paul about that on Wednesday. And then Craig Anthony Knitt will be in the studio. He's a filmmaker, a local filmmaker here in Northeast Wisconsin. He'll be here in the studio too as well on Wednesday. Yes, young lady.
I have no idea how I feel about that.
About
that
what?
Reboot there.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's different.
It is different. It's funny. After American Pie, I don't know who would let Jason Biggs near food or to let anybody know that, I don't know. That's a weird one. But yeah, it's weird for him too as an actor. Whenever you see an actor go from actor to host like that, like Mario, what's his name? Became a host on
Lopez?
Extra. Mario Lopez. Jerry O'Connell, didn't he do that too? He was an actor and then he's hosting.
I mean, the guy
show.
that was Carlton, his name is blanking on me right now. He's the host of
From Fresh Prince?
Yeah. Like American Dance.
He's a very funny guy.
Whatever.
He's a classically trained actor. Like, that dude can act.
I don't know. I did an interview with him. He was not a very kind person.
Really? I never said he was kind. I don't know anything about him. I'm just saying sometimes those serious actors, when they have to settle for a role on a sitcom, which I think is a joke, anybody would jump at one of those gigs. But what did you interview him for?
So back at my old radio station, we had him on air. He was doing a tour about becoming the host for this American Dance show that I cannot remember. Dancing with the Stars. That's what it is.
He's on Dancing with the Stars?
He is the host of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, geez.
And we were talking to him, but we were also trying to bring up some of his previous works. And someone did mention Carlton, and the vibe changed. He wanted nothing to do with the name.
That drives me bananas.
It's like, you should embrace what
Absolutely.
Made your name.
Such a
in my book.
It's like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Didn't want to be known as Screech. It's like...
Now he's known very well in the prison system, I hear.
He did adult films. He was a productive member of society after he left that show. But there's a lot of people that get pigeonholed with these roles, and they can help you. I mean, what's his name? I almost said Arthur Fonzarelli. Henry Winkler. He's had an incredible career after Happy Days. And he was the Fonz. Like, that was the biggest character of the 70s, and he got past it. I know a lot of people don't, but they still get huge paychecks for the rest of their lives from that. So
he embraces it too, because he'll do voice work for, and I can say this because I watch this stuff with my kids, but he'll do voice work for kids shows, and they put the little Fonz hair and the animation for his characters and stuff. So
great.
You gotta love someone who just embraces
Absolutely.
What made them who they are.
And even Ron Howard, he goes from Opie to Richie Cunningham, and now he's this big-time director and one of the greatest careers in entertainment of anyone in the history of the business. One of my beats tonight, Amanda, it might be running right now, was that the I wanted to talk about this before we got out of here, but I can't find it. So not a big deal. We got 2 minutes left? That's not right. Can we stay on a little longer?
I don't have that authority.
I'm not ready for the weekend. I got to be honest. I don't know what to do with myself on weekends. I don't. I know during the week, I get up, I have coffee, I start looking, preparing this show. I work on it for a couple hours. Then I go and do some other stuff. Then I come back to the show. I have routine. Like, what are you going to do tomorrow when you wake up? You have young kids, though, so it's different.
I have young kids. I was thinking about taking my son out kayaking if it was nice. I don't know if it's going to be yet or not. But... otherwise, I have no idea.
It's tough. I don't know. I'm not a yard guy. You couldn't catch me in a kayak. That's not true. I've kayaked. But that's about as crazy as I get with the outdoors. Maybe I'll take a walk.
A nice walk. A nice paved walk.
A nice walk. That makes a walk sound even more lame when you say, let's take a nice walk. Let's have a nice piece
a
of apple
stroll.
Pie. Stroll, exactly.
Hip it up a bit.
Yeah. So that's, all right, now I'm looking forward to the weekend. I'm going to see a couple blockbusters. Are you going to watch a movie with your kids? Take your kids to Garfield, maybe?
No, I do not want to watch Garfield.
No?
I'm sorry. I don't agree with Chris Pratt as the voice. Yeah, I don't.
I'm with you there.
Just like I didn't agree with him as Mario. And my son loves that movie, so I have watched it so many times.
But do you think your kids are going to care? I mean, no offense, but no, you take the kids to see Garfield. No. Not because mom approves of the voice on the actor, of the cat, of the pretend cat, but your kids might like it. I am definitely going to see Furiosa, and I will have a full breakdown. All right. Hey, this was really fun. I'd like to thank my guest tonight. Brian Eich came into the studio. So much fun. Terry Barr, as always. Amanda, thank you for filling in for the K-Man. So much fun to work with you. And we'll be back next week, Wednesday night. Couple best ofs Monday and Tuesday. And until then, I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin. Have a great weekend.